Welcome to Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. In each of our programs, our intention is to bring to our listeners the best of people, places, and projects of Northern California that we think you're going to enjoy and that we think are exceptional. Today, I have in the studio two individuals from the Shasta County Grand Jurors Association. We're going to find all out about what it means to be serving on the grand jury. I have Gene Jelka, who's the current president, and then I have Molly Snyder, who's Shasta County Grand Jurors Association board member, but also is a trainer for the Court Grand Jurors Association of California. Long titles. Welcome. Welcome. Glad you're here.
We're glad to be here.
Yes. So one of the first things I want to do is talk about and explain to individuals grand jury. So Molly, can you help us with that?
Absolutely, yes. And it's actually a little bit confusing. So let me sort of explain here that generally when people hear grand jury, we're often thinking of criminal grand juries because that's what we see at the state level, the federal level, and most states as well. But California and Nevada are special in that those are the only two states in the union that have civil grand juries. So in Shasta County, for example, and actually all the counties in California, the grand juries at a local level primarily do the civil oversight function. And what that is shedding light on local government to bring about improvement. Things like accountability, transparency, efficiency, and effectiveness to the local government.
And let me ask you something about the local government. Mm-hmm. So is that only the county governments or all forms of government?
It's all forms of local government. So not only the county, but also the cities that are in the county and the special districts such as water districts, fire districts, and school boards.
Ah, that's mm-hmm. much broader than I realized.
Yeah, quite a bit, yeah. And so the way they do this is they do investigations into the operations of these local government entities. And then at the end of their term, will write reports. And the reports are their only avenue to explain to the public and the entities what they found.
Let me ask you this. Do the investigations, if something comes up, or is it something they do on a regular basis, kind of look things over?
They oversee. So they are actually
actively
investigating various government entities. And we'll talk about that probably later on how they choose their topics and whatnot.
Yes.
But the civil oversight function is by far and away what they spend their most time on. But there are two other tasks that they can conceivably be asked to do. And one is accusations. And that is inquiry into alleged misconduct of elected officials, sort of a quasi-criminal type service. And something that probably less than 10% of the time they would spend any time on. But on rare occasion, they might find that there was some malfeasance, something that they would then get the district attorney's help on to move forward. And then the third thing is criminal indictments. And that's the thing we generally hear about at the federal and other states level. That is a task that is almost never done. Gosh, I think in Shasta County, it was over 10 years ago that a grand jury was impaneled to be a criminal grand jury. And the reason for that is that the district attorney has a much more expeditious way to bring charges to a criminal defendant. And that's by way of filling out an information rather than impaneling a grand jury and asking the grand jury to bring an indictment.
I see. And so the bulk of the time, the work for a grand jury is with the civil?
Correct. And that's something that, by the way, a lot of people put in their applications thinking, oh, I'm going to, be like on the federal level where I'm going to be, doing criminal indictments. And that's not the majority of what you do at the state level.
Do you think, like you said, the other one's 10% or less than 10%? You think that criminals less around 10%?
The criminal indictments, a fraction of a percent. Again, the last time a criminal grand jury was impaneled in Shasta County, I believe was over 10 years ago. So to give you some perspective, yeah.
Yeah, that's helpful. So the bulk of everything is the oversight for the civil.
The civil part, yep.
See, I did not know that. So one of the things I think is important for people to know too, every year there's a period of time when people can apply to serve. So is the grand jury, is it a government agency? Is it a nonprofit? What is that? President, well, Madam the, President.
The grand jury itself is an arm of the court, and that is...
So
that
it's a county agency?
No, it's an arm of the court. So the court is separate from the county.
It's judicial. Government.
It's judicial.
So that's state judicial.
Yes, in a sense.
But it is all volunteer. It is a volunteer in Shasta County.
And how many people do you usually have that serve as jurors for the grand jury?
So a typical grand jury has, at least at the beginning, 19 members.
And how long's the term of service?
1 year.
1 year. That's why we see you show up with encouragement for people to join the jury every year.
Yes, and usually in the spring, late winter, early spring, we are in our recruitment period for the next coming grand jury, and we try to encourage people to apply.
So every spring, you do reach out in the community and invite people to participate. What month is it that you usually select the new jurors?
Well, the application deadline is usually in April, and the new jury is selected by the court. Well, the members of the pool of jurors is selected by the court, and the actual impoundment happens in June.
So when you say the new jurors are selected by the court, who is that court? Who's that made up of?
The Superior Court judges in Shasta County.
The Superior Court judges in Shasta County. So currently, how many judges are there in 2025 from the Superior Court?
I don't know the answer to that. I should.
Okay. But it's probably four or five people?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's more than that, I believe.
Okay. It's more than that, yeah.
Okay. And so does the district attorney get involved, or it's just the judges?
The judges are the ones that determine from the pool of applicants the up to 30 candidates that would go into the pool. And then they are actually randomly selected at the impanelment from just like a drawing. And so the first 19 are the ones that are impaneled and sworn in as grand jurors for the next year. And any remaining people that are in that that pool are alternates. And so they are all of them are given training and so forth, including the alternates, because at some point during the year there'll be a vacancy and the alternates will step in.
That makes sense. So when someone fills out an application and applies, can they have a criminal background? How's that work?
No, you can't.
Molly?
In fact, there's actually some mandated requirements to be a grand juror. One of being an American citizen, you have to be 18 years of older. You cannot have a criminal history of any felonies, that type of thing, and you have to have a knowledge of not only a knowledge but be facile with the English language. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, some basic stuff, and then there are other criteria that are just more common sense type things. You have to have a willingness to, or a curiosity and interest in learning about local government and doing investigations.
Yeah.
You need to have a willingness to be able to cooperate with 18 other individuals in your county to,
yeah,
you know, just to work towards a common goal, you know, of completing those investigations. Other attributes that are helpful that are looked for are people that can deductively reason, set aside their biases, you know, preconceived notions, that kind of thing. And also people that will have time. I mean, obviously, you know, we ask that people come in with the prospect of being able to give about 20 hours a week of their time to the grand jury. So, you know, obviously, you know, people who are swamped with tremendous amount of work or raising children, sometimes that can be difficult, but certainly not insurmountable, but they just have to be able to, you know, to give that.
Yeah.
So, so those are the kind of the things that are looked for. And actually with the application process, if I can just jump back.
Yes.
Quick,
yes.
It's what the application is, it has an essay that people write, and then it also has a list of references. And in Shasta County, there's a screening committee that actually calls every single one of the references for every single applicant.
Good.
So, I mean, it's really a thorough process. And then after the screening committee, reviews their information there, there is a criminal background check, obviously. And then for the people that pass those stages, they are then asked for an interview. There's screening committee that then interviews those individuals. And the folks that sit on that will be former jurors, someone from the district attorney's office, someone from the administration of the court. You know, so you have a lot of different perspectives interviewing these folks. And then just, you know, making sure that they've screened people that can do the job.
Yeah.
You know, and then thereafter it goes to the judges, and they do another set of screening. And then the presiding judge, who's like the leader judge at that term, will select the foreperson. And then from then, everybody who has met the benchmark will come to Superior Court on Empanelment Day, which is also known as Swear-In Day. Uh-huh. And that's a real fun day. In fact, this is one of the few times that the judges will allow pictures to be taken in the courtroom.
Ah, that's nice.
Yeah, it's for sort of a nice community feel-good event, right?
Yeah.
And that's when, as Jean described, you know, the names of the other candidates will physically be put in a hopper, an old-fashioned hopper, which is twirled, and then the names will be drawn completely randomly. You know, so that some people have a thought of, oh, you know, are these people handpicked? Absolutely not. I mean, it is random. There's obviously they have to meet a benchmark.
Yeah, they have to qualify.
They have to qualify. But then after that, it is completely random. And the first 18 that are chosen are impaneled along with the foreperson. And then the rest are alternates. So, that's how it works.
That's amazing.
It's quite a process.
So, serving as the president, as you are doing, Jean Jelke, how long have you been involved with the jury?
Well, I served as a grand juror for two consecutive terms back in 2015 and 16 and 16 and 17. And I was so... met so many community service buttons with myself, which I've been community service minded my whole career, that I wanted to continue to be involved with the process. So I've been involved with, after I served my two terms, with the association ever since. And I didn't step back far enough when they asked who wanted to be president.
Yes.
And this is my second term as president, second year as president.
And I think it's good for us to differentiate how the association is different than when you're serving on the grand jury. Molly?
Oh, yeah. Very, very important. So the sitting grand jurors are selected by the court. So that they are meeting a mandate from the state constitution. California state constitution mandates every county in the state impanel a grand jury once a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's meeting that requirement. Now, the Grand Jurors Association is something that not all counties have. That is a volunteer organization, largely of folks that have been former grand jurors, and they serve in a capacity to just merely assist the court and the sitting grand jury with whatever they can to help. And that's things like recruitment, that type of thing. So it's a community organization. The Civil Grand Jurors Association is a community organization, whereas the grand jury is a judicial arm of the court.
Yeah, makes a difference. And how many times have you served on the grand juror?
I did 1 year. Last year was my one and only year. I was the foreperson,
and we hooked you.
And it was a lovely experience. I just have to share with you, Lynn. It was a lovely experience. I would safely say it was the most rewarding volunteer experience I've ever had.
Oh, that's powerful.
Yeah, and I was retired for about, five years or so, retired from a career in medicine. I was an emergency physician before, and I just kind of, was thinking I wanted to get involved in my community, sort of see what's going on out there, and it was an opportunity to learn about local government. I didn't know how counties and cities and special districts worked. I didn't even know what a special district was when I first came on. Just a lovely camaraderie that developed among the jurors. And I don't want to paint it as, you know, always a rose garden. Not at all. I mean,
it's work.
There were times where there were hard questions. There were differences of opinion. There were times where we really had to hammer through some hard stuff. But out the other side, when we realized what we accomplished with shedding light on certain issues in the county and city, and realized that we made a difference, it was huge.
Rewarding, huh?
Rewarding. I mean, to see the news pick up the stories, people talking about what we had investigated. And the greatest reward was when the entities actually, a couple times, sent a letter to the judge thanking the grand jury for what we did for their area of government. I mean, it was a win-win every way you looked. And then things like then joining the Grand Jurors Association, meeting people like Jean, who is also an alumni grand juror, so to speak, and moving that camaraderie and diligence forward, you know, for the next generation of grand jurors.
I think that's very critical. I'm going to do a station ID. When we come back, I want you to explain to our listeners what a special district is, Molly.
Okay.
If you just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We are here in conversation with two individuals from the Shasta County Grand Jurors Association. We have the president, Jean Jelke, and we have a board member, Molly Snyder, and Molly also serves as a trainer for the Civil Grand Jurors Association of California. So when you think of special districts, how would you describe a special district, Molly?
Okay, I think the best way to introduce it to the audience would be to give a couple examples.
Yes.
So like water districts, the ACID canal, how does that work, right? Things like fire districts. You go out to Trinity County, there's a bunch of different fire districts.
Yeah.
So you realize, all these things that make the community work, where they get their water, fire control, that kind of thing. We just kind of think it just works, but no, there has to be an entity that is responsible for solving its problems and making sure things move forward in a positive direction. And generally, those special districts have a board of directors, and they make the system function. So the grand jury can look into how that government entity operates, how they make sure that the sewage works, that sort of thing. And then when you realize where things can go awry, where there might be an operational shortcoming, that can lead to problems then for the recipients of the service, and the grand jury can go in there and do research, do interviews, do site tours, and then maybe pull together a solution. See, so that's where the beauty comes in. They have access to these interviewing folks and going out and seeing site tours and that sort of thing. But they can sometimes pull information from various aspects together and come up with a solution that maybe one of the board of directors never thought of because they didn't have access to look at this other thing. So it's a pretty unique experience and opportunity,
It sounds powerful. One of the things I wanted to ask you, Jean Jelke, as president of the Shasta County Grand Jurors Association, you're not a grand juror, you're a separate entity. How much time do you spend in, say, a month's time in the capacity of serving on the association?
Well, the association doesn't have the same workload that the jury itself has.
Mm-hmm.
Our biggest time factor or time-consuming time of the year is in every spring. But we, year-round, are always looking for opportunities to educate the community about the grand jury process and to support the current grand jury with its needs for anything that we can do. Now, there is a confidentiality is extremely important within the jury process itself, so I hope we'll dig down a little bit more into what it looks like to be in the grand jury during the course of their year. So we don't get involved at all with any of the deliberations or the investigations that the grand jury is doing. That's all done in confidence. But if they let us know that there's some kind of an issue like parking or some other kind of maybe some communication issues that they're having, we will see what we can do to support that. And we also support the training and orientation of the jurors.
Yes. So what I'm wanting listeners to realize, you are representing the association versus the grand jurors, correct? You're separate.
Yes, we are separate.
And so when you talk about serving on the grand jury, that's about 20 hours a week for a year. You can stay with the association for as ever long you like, correct?
Exactly, yes.
As volunteers.
Yes.
So does your organization, are always former alumni to the grand jury, or can other people, Molly?
Yeah, no, anybody can join the Shasta Grand Jurors Association, and probably most of us are former grand jurors, because that's how you learn. That's how they learn about it.
Yeah.
One of the most active, helpful people on there was a previous county counsel. Mm-hmm. So she never sat on the grand jury, but she has tremendous knowledge of the grand jury because she used to be a legal advisor to the grand jury. So you see, there can be various feeding mechanisms to get there. So
if someone wanted to find out about your association, they decided that they wanted to perhaps even consider volunteering for it, Jean, how would they go about that?
Well, they would reach out to us either by we have a website. The Shasta County Grand Jurors Association has a website, and there is a way to do an email through that, or find out some member like myself, and we would love to get you involved.
So your website, they can go to the, Shasta County Grand Jurors Association,
correct,
which is different than the grand jury.
That's right.
Okay. So there's a website, and they can access information through that.
That's right.
Okay. That makes sense. It's helpful because some people may want to be involved in the association versus the jury. You know, maybe they can't do 20 hours a week for a year, but they might be able to help. And so you do recruitment. You help spread knowledge about what it means to be serving on the grand jury. Anything else that we haven't covered about your association that you think the public should know, Molly?
Yeah, well, one of the things, for example, we can help with is, Jean mentioned the concept of confidentiality. So, for example, grand jurors are discouraged from doing any interviews. So obviously a grand juror would not be sitting in the room like we are with you, Lynn. And the reason for that is obviously there could be a slippery slope where they may be asked to get into any answer a question about any investigation that they're doing. They cannot do that by law. So when, say, the news media wants to do a story about the grand jury, they would reach out to us because we can talk to them.
Yes.
You see, because we're not sworn to confidentiality. We're not doing any active investigations.
Right.
So it's things like that.
Right. So we would not have in media any current grand jurors.
Correct.
Yeah. Right. I think that is important for people to know.
Yes.
Because the confidentiality, the role that they, I would call it a very sacred role.
Yes.
And it's part of the judicial system, so you want to be sure everything's on the up and up and not sharing things out of, what's that phrase, out of school? Something like that.
Actually, if I could add one more thing to your line of thinking there, Lynn, is that with the confidentiality piece, a lot of folks don't understand that the grand jury works in secret session. You know, we're used to hearing about government situations of transparency. Well, the grand jury does not have transparency, and that is by design, because the idea behind a grand jury is for them to be able to, in secret, do these investigations and protect witnesses.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it gives the grand jury is a very sacred thing for that very reason. So the confidentiality piece is huge. And for example, you know, someone may send in a complaint to the grand jury of something that they want to have investigated. The grand jury can send them back a letter saying, yes, we've received your complaint, but they cannot by law tell them anything more about that until such time as a report is issued. And if that investigation goes to yield a report, why, that is the only voice that the grand jury has to convey to the public or entities what they've investigated, that formal report. So they can't just talk to anyone. They can't get back to that complainant and say, oh, yes, we're working on this. And a lot, that's frustrating for some people that say, hey, I submitted a complaint. What are you doing about it? Yeah. The grand jurors are not being rude by not telling you. They cannot tell you.
Legally.
Legally, yes. Yeah. In fact, if they were to tell you, is more than that, they would be convicted of a misdemeanor.
Well, it's a breaking of the confidentiality.
It's a misdemeanor, yeah. And they could get in serious trouble. So that's an important thing for the public to understand about the grand jurors. You know, what they can and cannot do.
Yeah. So I also want to pause and think about what kind of complaints might come in that would, you might say, are legitimate complaints. We talked about the civil oversight. So imagine there's someone out there listening and saying, this is a concern that I have about something. They would contact the website. They make a phone call, the Shasta County Grand Jurors. How does that work, Molly?
Yeah, several different ways they can do it. They can go onto the Shasta County Grand Jury website. So that's part of the county website. So they're going to the grand jury, and there they will find a request for investigation form. Fill out that request, send it in. It arrives to the grand jury. They review every complaint or request for investigation that comes in, and then they will decide if they will, you know, move forward with an investigation. So if somebody sends in a complaint, that complainant will get a letter back from the jury saying, yes, we have received your complaint. Then it's up to the jury to decide whether they will move forward with investigating.
Mm-hmm. And if they decide not to investigate, is there any statement made back to the person that filed the...
No.
Okay.
By law, they can't.
Yes. Yeah. I just wanted to clarify that.
Correct. Yes.
I think it's important for people to recognize that.
Absolutely.
Jean, you had something you want to add?
Yes. The complaints also are screened to see whether it actually falls within the purview of the jury. Because if somebody complained that, you know, I got ripped off by such and such a company, and, you know, somebody should look into what they're doing, that would not be a local government, so therefore they would not
do
pursue
anything.
That complaint. So they, each complaint is looked at from jurisdiction, applicability, and it's also looked at as whether there's possibly any there, and sometimes there will be an inquiry done. Well, they'll look into it a little bit, and then they'll decide there isn't any there, or that they don't want to pursue it. But they never get back to the original complainant about whether or not it was pursued. And like Molly said, at the end of the term, usually, which goes from June to June, so toward the end of the term is when the reports from the investigation are issued. It's only when a report is issued, as Molly mentioned, that anything can become public about what the grand jury investigated.
And when they do those reports, release those, they're probably posted places or out in media?
Yes, they're posted on the grand jury, the Shasta
website.
County Grand Jury website. They're also released to the media, various media outlets. And so they are made public at the point in time when they're all completed and approved by the judge.
That makes sense. Molly, you had something you wanted to share?
Oh, yes. And so if anybody in the community wants to look at what the grand jury has investigated before or what they've written reports on, they can go to the website and they will see every report from every year is there. And then also not only the report, but then the response of the entity that was investigated will write a response back to the grand jury on whether they agree with the findings, what they're going to do to implement a whole series. There's a mandated response that the entities have to give back to the jury. So it's kind of interesting. If anyone's interested in jumping on the website, there's a spot that says reports and responses, and they can look and see.
I think that's very interesting because You know, I hear people, you see on television shows, they'll say, it's going before the grand jury. And usually that's criminal things.
Correct.
So I think it's very fascinating to find that the bulk of what you're doing is this civil oversight, because it's very important to have civil oversight, making sure things are doing as they should be doing.
I was sharing that I lived in Reading in the 90s, and then I moved to Washington State for 13 years. And when I came back, I joined the grand jury and told my friends in Washington State about what I was doing. And when I explained the civil grand jury process to them, they said, wow, we wish we had that here, because mm-hmm. there's nobody looking at our local governments.
And it's important, I think, to have the checks and balances there. So I'm glad that California has that.
Yeah,
it's an important role.
And isn't it interesting to think that in 1850, when the California state became a state, it was the grand jury system was in our state constitution. And interestingly, Nevada became a state around that same time. So you just kind of wonder from a historical standpoint why these two states in the union got it. Who knows?
Fascinating.
Gold,
isn't it?
Silver, I don't know. but it is an interesting and a very interesting concept, because we are very special. No other states other than our two have this.
Yes. I'm going to take a pause and remind our listeners that this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I'm Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We're here in conversation. We're learning all about Shasta County Grand Jury, how you can serve, what's involved. We have with us two individuals from the Shasta County Grand Jurors Association, which is different and distinctive from actually the grand jury. They do outreach, such as they're doing with this radio program, to educate, inform, and recruit people to participate in the grand jury. So I have the current president, Gene Jelke, board member, Molly Snyder. One of the things I wanted to pause to, Molly, because you're also a trainer for the Civil Grand Jurors Association of California. So that's a different hat you wear.
Yeah, and actually Civil Grand Jurors Association of California is an entity at the state level. It's a community organization at the state level. And in fact, the Shasta County Grand Jurors Association is a chapter of that.
I see. Okay.
But my role at the state level is I'm actually a trainer of grand jurors in the state of California. And that's actually a lot of fun in that most everybody on that is a trainer has been a previous juror, but not all. You know, again, some have been legal advisors for the grand juries. What we do is we train every grand juror in the state. So I live in Northern California, so I tend to train the juries in Northern California. And then we have our middle the middle state trainers, and then the southern state trainers. So it's actually very fascinating to go to the various counties and to meet the people that are serving their counties, just kind of seeing how things are a little bit different. And I can actually share kind of a fun one that'll be fun for your listeners. Gene mentioned that there's 19 people on the Shasta County Grand Jury. That is true, but there are some counties that are a whole lot smaller than Shasta County. And if your county is less than 20,000 people, those counties can impanel only 11 jurors.
Yeah.
And so it varies. And then, of course, Los Angeles County, which is humongous, they have 23 jurors. So it's by population.
It is represented by the balance of population. Correct. Smaller number.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And so you will travel going to other counties for the training in the North State.
Correct. And that's, I think, it's an important thing for listeners to understand is that a lot of folks think, oh, I could never be a grand juror. I wouldn't even know the first thing about how to do an investigation.
Yes.
And I would want to reassure folks that we are looking for the grand jury system is looking for regular people, looking for regular citizens. You know, our country's founders felt that you had to have people involved in government in order to make democracy work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we are looking for regular people, and to let them know that each county in the state has to provide training to the grand jurors. So they are taught best practices on how to go about doing an investigation. So like the soup to nuts, the details of how to do an interview, how to debrief after an interview, how to begin the research, how to arrange for site tours, and even how to write the reports. Because the report writing for a grand jury report is a different recipe than a medical report or a legal report even. It's its own entity, it has its own recipe. So the trainers from the Civil Grand Jurors Association of California come to the counties and teach. And so the grand jurors have an opportunity to learn some new skills too.
Yeah, that's wonderful. A different structure than they're used to. Mm-hmm. So you also train in Shasta County?
Yes.
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah. Is there more than one trainer here?
Yes, in fact, there are three of us from Shasta County happen to be involved at the state level. Two of the individuals are just founders, I would have to say. I've created an amazing legacy to really, those two ladies did an amazing amount of work to raise the bar on the training throughout the state.
That's good. Yeah. And I'm sure part of the training is the nuances of confidentiality, because it's so critical.
Yes.
When you have served in the past, both of you served in the past on the grand jury, and obviously it's inspired you to become part of the association, so it's obviously been meaningful to you. So thinking about those out there, they're going, well, I don't know. Yeah, they provide training. It's a whole year. It's a lot of work. What do you think about the work, Jeannie?
I would say to someone with a little bit of trepidation about whether to get involved or not, that there's a lot of flexibility. Each grand jury decides how it's going to operate. Internally, there's no rules. There are guidelines that have been passed down from previous jurors that they have. So it's a tool, but they can create their own processes. They can decide when they want to meet. They can decide what committee structure they want to have, along with a lot of other things. So there's a lot of flexibility. It's usually broken down into subcommittees that, like one committee might deal with city government and another one with special districts and so forth. So you as an individual juror can decide, you know, how involved do you want to get? Do you have limited time? So maybe you're only going to serve on one of those committees, or are you just a gung-ho person with lots of time on your hand? You want to get involved with three committees, but I wouldn't recommend anybody do any more than two or three committees.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're just living it. So there's a lot of flexibility. You can take vacations. Just let your four-person know and your committees you're on know that you're going to be gone for a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is, just as long as it's not 6 months of the 12 months.
Yes.
So then you might pass on applying if you know you've got a big commitment like that. But so we want to reassure people that there's a lot of flexibility. Some of the research you can do in your PJs at home and at your computer.
Yeah, yes.
So, but there is a confidentiality even with even your own family. So you have to be careful that you don't spill the beans, whatever we said before.
Yeah, or leave papers laying around.
Leave papers laying around. Leave your laptop open to some report you're working on. So that you can maintain that confidentiality. But there's a lot of flexibility for you to determine just to how much time you can devote.
Do you think it's even possible for a person that serves on the grand jury, maybe they have a month they have to be away? Do you think that's too long, or do you think it's possible?
They could discuss that at the beginning, with the foreperson or with the committee that's trying to help with the screening process. They could discuss that at the information meeting or whenever with whatever advisors that they have access to.
Part of the reason I'm asking, because if there's someone out there and they go, well, I can't serve because I'm gone every summer for a month. It's possible to still to serve.
It would be, especially in the month, summer months, because that's when things are just getting started. It might be a little more difficult in the springtime.
Fall or spring.
Yes, once when the investigations are winding up and they're getting ready to write reports.
Yeah.
But, yes, that's... And another thing, too, is that we do have the alternate system, so if you started and then you just found out that, oh my goodness, this is not working out, or something happens.
Yeah.
Things do happen. You may
health issue.
A health issue for yourself or for a family member. Alternates are there for filling in vacancies that arise during the year.
Smart to plan for alternates. Everything you want to add, Molly?
I would say that that with each jury ends up being unique, and you've got a collection of 19 people, and the idea is, you know, we leverage people's skills. That just happens naturally. So you might have somebody that maybe is still working but is able to give a certain amount of time, and that person's skills may be invaluable to the jury.
Mm-hmm.
Other people may be able to give a whole lot more time and then have the desire to be a committee chair or something like this. So as Jean described it, there's a lot of variability, and sort of the puzzle pieces fall into place.
And you're thinking of, you know, you talk about confidentiality. Obviously where they meet is a secure location whenever
Correct.
They have their meetings.
Correct.
So they don't have to worry about logistics. They have a designated place.
Correct.
Yes.
Yep. And it's secure.
It's secure, yes, and that is provided by the county. Kind of interesting thing here that we talked about a little bit earlier, the grand jury is a arm of the judicial system, so that an arm of the superior court, but everything it does is paid for by the county. So it's kind of a funny sort
that
of disconnect,
is
isn't it? Yeah. And the interesting thing is it's an independent body, so neither the court nor the county can direct the grand jury on what they're investigating. It is secret. See, so it's just kind of a really unique animal if you think about it. Yeah.
And I guess from our conversation, I can imagine there might be listeners out there that something has been, you know, a thorn in their side, not just a complaint, but a concern about something that may not be functioning like they think it should, perhaps. So they could send in the information and say, I think this needs to be looked at. And they go to the website to do that.
Correct.
Yeah. I think that's important. It's not the everyday upset, because there are things that happen in a person's life that can be upsetting. But if you think that something's not functioning as it should.
Correct.
You know.
Yeah. It's an important distinction, actually, Lynn, that has to be made too. The grand jury can investigate operations of local government, not policy. So that's a very important jurisdictional thing. So, you know, it's up to the elected officials, the board of supervisors, the city council, the board of directors of a special district to decide the policy.
Yes.
So it's not up to the grand jury to set policy. And a lot of folks in the public don't get that either.
Yeah.
They may not like what someone decided. That's not something the grand jury can comment on. What the grand jury can comment on is operations, so procedures to get to what's happening.
Right.
Very, very important distinction.
Like following the Brown Act. They're required to follow the Brown Act.
Correct.
And if they're not, then that's not okay.
Correct. And then that would be looking into transparency issues, right?
Yes.
And so much of the time, honestly, you know, when you start to peel those onions, you realize that, you know, The entity is not out to do something secret or wrong. A lot of times, you know, a water district may be this tiny little water district out in the middle of nowhere. The people that serve on the board are people that are just trying to make the thing function.
Yeah.
And they may not have the sophistication to know all those details.
Yes.
So a lot of the times the grand jury is, you know, sort of educating too. A lot of folks think, oh, there's this adversarial thing, us versus them. No. In fact, in my experience, it was much more of a collaborative thing. And in fact, some of the entities, as I mentioned, they were very happy we investigated them, because in the end, it was a win-win for them, the community. You know,
you helped them.
Every direction you look at. Yep.
Yeah, I think that's important to differentiate, too. I appreciate what you said about policies. You're not there to deal with policies. You're actually talking about the function and make sure those protocols are followed. And really, you're a support mechanism sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they help.
It's a way that, a citizen who's not getting a service that should be delivered by the government can let someone know, so it's looked into to find out what's going wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happened? Where's the disconnect?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's very important. Jean?
I wanted to piggyback on that and say that sometimes the very process of investigating a local government agency instigates change within that agency, even before a report is written, or even if a report is not written. And a good example of that is a couple of years ago, the grand jury investigated the Enterprise Park, because there was a area a little bit out of sight where some materials were being dumped by city road folks and stuff, and there was a concern that there was some maybe violations of environmental kinds of things. And so the grand jury started looking into this, and voila, before they finished their report, all was well. The city had to go, whoops, we need to do something about this, and they did. So sometimes change happens just by the process itself. And it, like Molly said, it's not necessarily adversarial. It's just like, hey, there's a problem here. Let's address it, kind of thing. And then the city, in this case, realized that and did something right away.
Corrective action before a report was even needed.
Mm-hmm.
That's very powerful influence, I think. And it's a much better way to work in the world, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. If you just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We're here in conversation talking about Shasta County Grand Jury, and we're here with two individuals from the Shasta County Grand Jurors Association, which is a distinct entity separate and different than the grand jury. We have the president, Jean Jelke, and we have a board member, Molly Snyder, who also serves as a trainer for the Civil Grand Jurors Association of California, trains jurors. Yay! That's a good thing to do. What is it we haven't shared that we need to share with the public, because we're getting down to the last part of the program, that you think it's important for people to know? It sounds like you both have found it very rewarding, so much so that you end up doing volunteering for the Jurors Association.
I think one topic that might be kind of interesting for people to understand is the concept of recusal. And so what recusal is for example, if a juror has a bias with regard to a given topic, that juror would step away from having anything to do with that investigation. And there's some recusals that are mandated. They're just, straight away by law. For example, if you have worked for the government entity within the last 3 years, you cannot take part in that investigation. So that's a straight easy one.
Yes.
If you have a financial interest in what's being investigated, you must step away. So those are easy peasy. Where it gets kind of difficult is the sort of the gray areas where, for example, if your nephew had worked for this entity 5 years ago, should you step away or not? These are kind of questions like, oh, okay, where is the line on the bias, right?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a challenging aspect of it. And some of the times it's a matter of, the juror just asks themselves, can I be neutral, unbiased on this topic? And if they feel they can, and the rest of the jury feels they can, oftentimes then they can move forward and still take part in the investigation. So if it's a minor association, it may not affect their ability to be objective.
Mm-hmm.
As you can imagine, there's like, at what level do you then need to recuse? It can be kind of stickly, right? There's a risk you run if the jury is super cautious, saying, okay, even if your nephew worked there 5 years ago, we're not going to allow you to be on the jury. Well, what if you come down to not having enough jurors to do the investigation?
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing, because when we say we have 19 people on the Shasta County Grand Jury, you must have 12 vote affirmative for something to move forward. For example, for a report to be issued, 12 of the jurors have to agree that this report is something that we want to send out. We feel it is ready to send out.
12 of the 19.
12 of the 19. So you can imagine if, say, you've got, you know, six people recused on a topic. Oh, you know. Yeah. So the recusals are a bit challenging, but recusal is absolutely mandatory,
central,
important.
Yeah.
Not only is it a mandated thing, people need to step away if there's a real or perceived bias.
Yeah.
So, you know, if somebody spoke out against a topic 5 years ago at city council meetings over and over again, yeah, they better, you know, they probably ought to recuse, you know.
Yes.
So that's an interesting piece. And I think an important thing that the community needs to realize, that the jurors police themselves. If they feel they cannot be objective, they step aside. If they maybe feel one individual juror thinks that they can be objective, but the rest of the jury says, I don't think so. I mean, it's still too close an association.
Mm-hmm.
They need to step aside. So that guards the system. It keeps the jury credible.
Yes.
And so a very, very important piece that we teach the jurors and they hold close to their hearts, because they want their work to be a good product that is respected by the community.
You know, I think too, when you were sharing about that, you know, 5 years back something might have happened, and then having the discussion with the other jurors, if you're uncertain, I think having that transparency within that group of 19 is important.
Very important. In fact, we train the jurors that before a topic is delved into, when it's first even brought up of, is this something we should investigate, the first question that is asked is, anybody on this jury need to recuse from this topic? That is the first thing you look at.
Oh,
because
good.
The last thing you want to do is to be, you know, 3 months into an investigation, have a juror say, I have a bias here. Well, the whole report has to be thrown out. I mean, the whole investigation has to be set aside because it's tainted.
Yes.
So, you know,
restart.
Or actually, they can't even restart it within that jury. If that topic wanted to be picked up again, it would have to be a whole different set of people, because those jurors are tainted. So, I mean, it's a pretty intricate process to keep things objective and fair.
And I think you said an important phrase, perceived bias.
Correct.
So that's important to realize too. So I think it keeps things on the up and up.
Correct.
Credibility,
yes.
Respect, all those things, responsibility. So I think it's a very unique situation to serve on the grand jury. I see it as a privilege. Just know as something in the future that I hope to do as my schedule changes. Jeannie?
I just wanted to say a couple things. First of all, to address the why, what's in it for me kind of a thing.
Yes.
Because I think that we have talked a lot about the process, but what's in it for you is just there's lots of things in it for you. There's the satisfaction of knowing that you as part of a team have made a difference in your community during that hard year that you had of work. But it's also very fulfilling from a personal level, because you meet 18 other people that you probably didn't know before, and now these are some of your best friends. Many of the juries continue to associate with each other after they have finished their year, and the Grand Jury Association does provide a venue for that too. Another thing is that you get to learn and go with behind the scenes in places you would never get to do. I mean, I thought I knew this community well. I'd been through leadership reading and, you know, been a nonprofit director, executive director, and I thought I knew everything, and I didn't know everything. I shouldn't say that I think I know everything. I don't. But I didn't know very much about a lot of the behind-the-scenes things. And you get to go and look at site visits are very interesting, behind-the-scenes tours that you take of Sugar Pine Conservation Camp, for example. I was fascinating. And so I think if you're a curious person, you like to know what makes things tick, which I am, this is really a great opportunity to learn a lot more than you thought you ever would know.
That's awesome. One of the things I wanted to ask you, Jeannie, where did you serve as executive director?
Well, I served as executive director for the American Lung Association of Superior, California. I also served as executive director for American Red Cross chapters, most recently in Washington State, where I was talking about.
So you have a business background.
Well, it's nonprofit business background.
Yeah, yeah, that's still business.
Yes, it is.
It's part of the community.
Absolutely.
Yes. How about for you, Molly?
So I was a practicing emergency physician for 25 years, and actually practiced in Reading, and then in Chico at Enlo Medical Center for the last 10 years of my career. So it's a North State, practiced in, the whole time in the North State. So medicine being so different from judicial.
Yes, definitely, huh?
But yeah, you know, the beauty of it is, I think, that sense of community, such an important piece of happiness and making our system of government work.
Yes, being part of that.
Yes.
And to me, it looks like it's more solution focused. You're looking at things that are perhaps not what they should be and trying to help to create it better. And if that's not possible, I mean, there must be times when it's not possible. And then the report reflects that and then actions taken beyond that.
Well, interestingly, mandated in the law is that every report must have findings. Findings meaning shortcomings or even commendations. You have to have findings or draw conclusions.
Uh-huh.
And any negative finding that is identified must have a recommendation or a solution. So by very design, the grand jury reports are created to
address
the issues with solutions. You can't just say, oh, there are problems.
Yeah.
You have to peel the onion to find the solutions too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you served on jury, we only have about 2 minutes left. Did your when you did the reports, did you ever as a group go, let's see, what is a solution? And did you go, do you go outside that group, or do you have to do it within the 19? Come up with a solution?
Oh, with the solutions, I have to share with you that probably most of the solutions actually come from your interviews. You know, when you're, say you're interviewing a government entity, you're interviewing the board and that, but you're also interviewing the people with the boots on the ground. You're interviewing the employees. And I got to tell you, a lot of times the employees know the problems, and by doing the work, they know what the solutions are.
See, that's
powerful. You pull a lot of stuff out of those folks.
That's powerful. Very powerful. Jeannie?
I wanted to use a little bit of time just to tell people about the application process. And so you probably are wondering about that. How do I apply and what time of the year and so forth? Well, go to the Shasta County Grand Jury website. There is a section there for information, and there's an information form or an interest form that you can fill out and send that in, and then we will notify you when the application period is on. And the application form is also on that website during the season where applications are being taken, which is in the spring.
Yes. Look early in the year, every year. If you can't do it this year, think of the next year or the years to come.
And send us your interest form, and then we'll keep you on our radar.
Excellent. I want to thank you both. From the Shasta County Grand Jurors Association, we have the president, Jeannie Jelke, and we have the board representative, Molly Snyder, who also is a trainer for the Civil California Jurors Association. Learned a lot from you. I know there's a lot more, so you're going to have to come back in the near future.
It would be our pleasure.
Yes, yes. And I want to remind us here in the studio, our listeners, we want to make this day and every day a day to enjoy exceptional living. Thank you for joining us.